Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Get big savings on big equipment for one big day at United Rentals on South Frontage Road in Columbus, Thursday, October 2nd from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Hey, this is Tiffany Blackston. Call me today for the equipment you're looking for. 662-889-2528. Can't wait to see you on October 2nd.
Stream, but we've done a really good job with both the audio and video here because, quite frankly, everybody wants more. Everybody wants to see what's in that garden. Everybody wants to hear from folks that are doing things. And, you know, sometimes you have to just have a little bit of humor on a Saturday morning. We hope we provide a bit of that. I can't help but start with food today. We got two choices, but I'm going directly to the today is Cuban sandwich day, which lets us talk about mojo sauce, some of the best stuff in the world. If you have never had a chance to participate in the argument between Tampa and Miami over who invented the sandwich, you should, because they do it differently in both places. But one of the bits and pieces of this particular world that we're lucky to live in is that there's a sandwich for everybody. In my case, I got to tell you, I'm going for that mojo. When they talk about sour lemon, or sour citrus, rather, you think lemon, right? Well, that's not exactly right for this one. In this case, it's actually orange and lime mixed together to make a very tart taste in the sauce. That's what's on the pork part of that terrific sandwich. It's also one of the things that is the most fun, and of course, to introduce people to who've never even imagined that you could have a sandwich with both ham and pork slices, much less cheese and pickles. But, you know, trust me, it'll keep you going all day long. Perhaps the best part is that the bread that is almost a po' boy bread, but not quite, it's actually a little softer, really does grill up perfectly. If you're ever into exploring a panini press or something like that, you want to get that kind of bread. It's fun. I have got to tell you, you're going to see some interesting photos today at supertalk.tv. There are really some interesting plants that I'm fond of and we don't really notice that much. But there's also a teeny tiny little baby boop, and the lizards are hatching everywhere. I asked the question on social media yesterday, you got lizards? We got plenty. I hope you got lots yourself. It's a good sign of the health of your garden. It's a real good sign of the insect control, pest control going on in your plants. And frankly, they're just fun to watch. So the lizards are there, and of course, I don't name all of them, but I do try to give one name to at least one during the season because there's so many hatchings. But another thing I want you to see in that group of plants is the Asiatic jasmine snow in summer. We don't see it often enough, and it's not popular because it doesn't grow as fast and doesn't fill in the same way that classic green Asiatic jasmine does. But for those of us who grow containers, who have small spaces to fill, and who really like a little color down low to the ground, it's about ankle high at that point, I really think this is a plant that you should consider, one that you should, I hope that you'll find out and enjoy looking at. Turk's cap is another plant that really takes over at this time of the year. The hibiscus family in general is a summer beautiful bunch of stuff in the perennial family. The perennial, of course, hibiscus that are as big around as your head, if not larger, are all blooming. They bloom one flower a day. They look like paper. They don't last very long, and they are spectacular, just beautiful. But Turk's cap doesn't open those flowers in the same way. It's a malvaviscus. It's in the hibiscus family. But it really does hold the flowers tight, almost like a turban. That's where it gets its name. Or the turban cap, turban plant, and Turk's cap is the way that we refer to it here. But they're pink ones, they're red ones, there's ones with small flowers, there's ones with big, big flowers, and it's just a wonderful perennial to have in the garden for late summer and fall flowering. And hummingbirds really, really like it, so it's one that you need to think about for that too. I have a couple of others to suggest, and I will drop them in this morning, but I wanted to make sure that Lance didn't miss this one. Did you see the picture of the weaver ants that I sent you, Lance?
I think so. I was going
Did it frighten
through.
You? Yeah. Yeah. They're not my weaver ants.
No, you're not your pets.
I had to capture that particular photo. I'll tell you what, though. Interestingly enough, we could learn something from the Weaver ants, and that's what I'm. The reason that I put them there, they form a bridge with their bodies. They do some really good, serious work with each other, just like all colonial insects do. You know, the ones that gather bees and whatnot. Most not solitary bees, but the ones that form colonies. Ants do the same thing. But the folks at Macquarie University are letting us know that they have done some serious research into the weaver ants because they increase their individual strength as the team grows. In other words, if I'm a weaver ant and I can lift this right here, you know, I'm lifting some branches over my head. Well, if 2 or 3 or 4 or 10 or 15 or 30 of my friends come along and help, the tendency in people and most animal colonies is that each one uses a little bit less energy, and the collective energy is what pushes things to the next level. Not with the weavers. The weaver ants, each one gets stronger as they are supplemented by others. I love this. I think this is such a great example of how teams work, how they should work, and how they can work, and in this particular case, how they do. Now, why would they be studying this other than the fascination with it? Obviously, we don't, you can't pick your team based on who's going to act like a weaver ant, but you can program robotics to mimic that particular behavior, and that's what this research is all about. They not only build these incredible leaf nests that are crazy, but they double their pulling power when there's more of them as they increase. In other words, they become like a ratchet that could get bigger in your hand and get stronger. I love that. I think I don't think weaver ants are going to be my spirit animal. I'm still holding on to squirrels. But if I have to have an insect of the day today, it would be this particular one, the weaver ants. Super efficient at teamwork. I just love that. Tell me something, Lance. Do you eat Cuban sandwiches?
Oh, goodness, yeah.
Those are so delicious. Do you want a red sauce or a green sauce?
However they believe it's made.
Well, see, that's the thing. Depends on whether you go to Tampa or Miami.
Right. Miami's Miami, I've had quite a few in Miami before. You know, yeah, over the years.
Too. That's the only ones I've eaten.
However, I would be happy to try any.
I would be happy to try another. And it's a return to the pork world for me. Because I don't believe we can make a vegan Cubano, but somebody will probably send me a recipe today.
There has to be. You know, somebody's done that before.
Somebody out there has done that. But I will say this, knowing that the pork itself has the mojo sauce on it, because that's one of the things I really like, obviously. I like salsa verdes, I like red sauce, I like sauce. I mean, all of that stuff is really important to me.
Bring me the sauces, in other words.
All of them. Yes. And so why not? You know, why not go ahead and have a combination, or in this case, a competition between these folks?
I would be happy to mediate that. And
wouldn't you?
We could meet in the middle. You know, it's a great, great area there between Miami and Tampa.
Beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful.
Beautiful place. The bread is an agreement. That wonderful soft Cuban bread that toasts up so brilliantly.
Yeah, it gets a nice crunch on the outside and keeps mm-hmm. its softness.
But how we get into the mojo is the big question, because, I mean, I'm going to go verde if I make it myself because I like cilantro, but I realize not everybody does. I'm just fascinated,
by the
traditional mojo sauce. I couldn't ever figure that out. You'd see sour orange on a recipe, you know, or a list of ingredients mm-hmm. or something. It's actually just orange and lime mixed together.
Okay, well,
if you didn't happen to have a sour orange,
makes sense though. I mean,
so anyway, yeah. you would have some sour, but anyway, it's just interesting to me. So it's fun stuff. Something else we need to cook.
I didn't get a Cuban sandwich, but I got a country sandwich the other day. I had fried bologna with
there you go,
fried bacon on there mm-hmm, as well. So mm-hmm. yeah, it was in spirit. I wasn't in the Cuban area.
You were at our friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they took good care of me. Nonus did, as I always do. So.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. You know, I have to tell you the truth. It is Inner Nerd Day, and I really don't think that there's a word that is better to explain. Everybody says, "Oh, nothing ever changes." Well, yes, it does. Things change all the time if we notice. A nerd used to be a corruption of calling somebody a nut. You know, calling them, that's just a nut. It's an antisocial weirdo over there. It's actually come into the proper language though now, and People identify as nerds. People are happy to let you know that they are a nerd. And in some cases, it does mean that they have a slight difficulty in social situations. But more often, it's because they have an obsessive part of their brain that does one or two things, and they really get into that particular thing. So I think that is, it depends on how you look at it as to whether it's a good quality or a bad quality. But originally, it was... And another possibility for the origin of the word comes from a Dr. Seuss book. If I Ran the Zoo, there was a nerd in the book, but that may or may not be where it came from. But in 1951, that book was in 1950, but in 1951, college slang records the word nerd, which is K-N-U-R-D, which is drunk, spelled backwards, to explain the people that didn't go out and party and didn't play and didn't have any, you know, didn't go along with this. It initially, of course, carried a derogatory connotation. That guy's going to sit in the corner. He's not going to come with us. He's, you know, he's a nerd. But it turns out it's a little bit more impressive now.
I like that. I like the flip-flop there. And yep. I'm a big, the nerd, you know, the movie nerds, all of them. I love them all. You know, the first and second ones are the best, but you got to stay with it.
That's usually true.
Yeah, you got to stay with it. It's like Police Academy. You know, they get worse as they go, but you kind of have to ride with it and enjoy it. But, you know, Ogre does turn into a nerd, so things change, right?
Things change. Things do change.
He slicks his hair over and starts studying and puts the glasses on.
Next thing you know. Yeah. You know, there's some girl wanting to get tutored. So there you have it. That's how those things work. That's why we have to talk about whether it should be the inner nerd or whether it should just be nerd day. Mm-hmm. We have to all have our inner nerd.
Yeah. Nerds in general. I mean, I celebrate. Love the movie, like I said. And it's funny because you don't really have names like nerds. You know, I mean, like that's a negative now, right? You're talking down to someone, but back in the day, it was much more of a funny. Yeah, you know, I was of that era. It wasn't like, you know, oh, you're a nerd, man. It wasn't really a cut down as bad as I think people make it out.
No, and now it's an elevation.
Yeah,
some
you're
circles.
Elevated now, right? I mean, that's you've probably made it, and you own X or something.
Sheila in Tupelo sends her regards this morning. Howdy, Sheila. Hope things are well for you. The text line has also got.
Thank you, Sheila.
Heading out for coffee. Paula's gonna go work.
Yeah, of course.
Those dogs are not going to cut their own hair.
Well, and the turtles don't get fed their strawberry jam
exactly.
either.
Right? Someone's got to do it. We're happy it's Paula.
Take care of the animals out there.
Very happy about that.
Thank you for doing that, Paula. And always for sharing great pictures, too.
You know, when you talk about nerds and you talk about the things that make us nerds or that how we identify as nerds, I'm going to tell you a story right now about me. I was not the cutest kid, not even the smartest, I was just kind of a kid. And because I tend to really like to see what's going on, figure out things, take stuff apart, even if I can't put it back together, hello clocks, there were a lot of things that I did that didn't necessarily lead me anywhere. But I've decided to come clean. I'm going to tell you now, I think propagating plants basically saved my sanity and certainly my education. When I was a little kid, I got my first houseplant. It was a begonia, and it broke, fell off the windowsill in the kitchen. Well, I was bereft. I thought that was the end of it, you know, so I can't do this either. There were a lot of things I couldn't do. Pigeon-toed, you know, all that sort of stuff. Couldn't do a whole lot of stuff. Well, there I was, third grade girl. Mama said, here, just put this piece that broke off in the coffee cup and it'll root and you'll have two. Well, okay, you got me there. I'm solidly there in this process. Watch that thing every day. Watch that thing every day. Right now, there's a calathea that broke that I literally watched myself break. I didn't intend to, but when I grabbed the pot, I grabbed the wrong piece of the pot and the branch itself came with it. So now I have another broken piece in a vase waiting to root. It's in a clear glass vase so I can watch it every day. This is propagation. This is fun to me. I don't root everything in water, of course, as you all well know. You've heard me talk about it. But the great joy for propagating things maybe considered nerdy, but it's also the basis of a huge industry and a whole lot of fun along the way. So I hope that you'll take this advantage today with this one particular tip. Now that we're into the time of year when rose mallows and Confederate rose and angel trumpets are really just blooming out and being beautiful, if you want to propagate those, the way to do it is by taking a cane before it all actually, let the flowers get a little bit done, finish that up, but you're going to want to take a piece of cane about 2 or 3 feet long, put it into some water in a pitcher, and literally don't let it freeze if you live where things freeze, but you don't have to pay much attention to it other than to keep water in the pitcher. And it will root by next spring, and you will have some more to plant, or you will have some to give away or to take to a plant sale. One of those things about propagation is that it brings you to people that also like to share plants. And some of the best people in the world are who those that you meet at a plant swap or at a meeting where there's a table in the back and everybody's brought something. It's not actually a formal plant swap. It's just, I have some of these. Y'all want some? You know, I was happy to see a couple of pieces in my social media this week that told me about the people just giving away plants. You know, I've got too many. Well, that's the joy of propagation sometimes, is you can just give away what you don't necessarily need. One of the things that's also in my world, thank you, Paula, appreciate that very much. One of the things that's also in my world are plants that grow well in containers with other plants. And coming up on September 20th, you're going to have a chance to really, really appreciate that particular part of my world, along, of course, with Mark Patrick. We will be part of the work going on at the Magnolia Flower and Garden Festival. This is the first of this particular event. It's the inaugural year. It's going to be a great program. It will be in Ridgeland at the Renaissance at Colony Park. It's going to be from 10 to 3 on Saturday, September the 20th. Mark your calendar. It's a great lineup of speakers. You certainly are not just coming to see me, although I appreciate it if you do that. But there's a lot going on at this event. And y'all are going to really enjoy it. We'll talk more about it as it gets closer, but just put that on your calendar, please. I do think there are other bits and pieces of plants that we don't talk about enough at this time of year, and one of those really is the whole hibiscus family. I need to remember to pay more attention to that and get you a lineup of those, because they're beautiful until, well, frost or further. All right, now, I'm going to step away. Get you some coffee. Come right back. This is the Garden Mama Show.
My feet can't fail me now. My feet can't fail me now.
What?
My feet can't fail me now. 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 My feet can't fail me now.
Thinking about that big home project? In Mississippi, the law requires a licensed contractor for residential projects, including new home construction over $50,000, home remodeling or improvements, including roofing over $10,000. All subcontractors performing residential, electrical, plumbing, or HVAC work on new home construction projects over $50,000 or home improvement projects over $10,000. Don't risk your investment. Visit msboc.us to verify a contractor's license today. A message from the Mississippi State Board of Contractors.
Hello, I'm Sean Tindall, Commissioner of the Mississippi Department of Public Safety. Since 2021, Mississippi has seen a 25% reduction in fatalities involving crashes with commercial motor vehicles. Many of those crashes could have been avoided. DPS, through its MHP's Motor Carrier Unit and the Commercial Transportation Enforcement Division, is partnering with Big Rig Truckers to conduct safety checks across our state for the Trooper and Trucker Safety Initiative. The Department of Public Safety and the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration are working together to keep our highways safe for everyone. Switching to...
You have that beautiful shirt on.
Aw. I thought it was because you had been laying up watching all the versions.
I wish. Yeah, if I could find them all. I've watched so many of those. Goodness gracious. Not the new ones. You know, I love the old Hawaii 5-0. It's just it's good stuff. Great scenery too.
I was going to say amazing, it's pretty hairdos. To look at. You don't have to pay any attention to what's going on. The scenery's beautiful.
The mustaches and hairdos, yeah, that's good stuff.
That's funny.
Old cars. I love the old cars too. We were just having that conversation. I ran by Orvis yesterday to take the dog and let him get some, you know, get him some goodies for his birthday. I told him we'd run over there and I was visiting with a few of the people that worked there. They're all about my age, and they had a nice sale rack. Of course, I went to it, and after I grabbed about $60 worth of stuff for the dog, I'll tell you this: I didn't know that you could like basically make cheese into a hard rock, but they've made that now, and it's for like dogs. And man, I'm gonna tell you, they loved it, and.
It's not just old cheese.
No, it's actually good cheese. Yeah, I almost went down there on the ground and gnawed on it with them.
My goodness.
But there was a brown colored, you know, I like button up short sleeve shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I kind of rifled through a bunch of the stuff and got to the end, and there's this beautiful brown, you know, short sleeve button up. And immediately I grabbed it, and everybody's like, oh, I love that color. You know, and I was like, well, I wish they made cars in that color still.
Oh, there
it made me really happy.
You have to kind of go back to the days of Packards, you know.
Exactly.
But, man,
where's
that
the brown car now? I don't make that. But I have it on today, and it's just, I love the, you know, everybody wears the pinks and purples and all that. Every now and again, it's good to just go back to the 70s and throw some oranges and browns on, put a little light blue in there with it.
The first time I ever met Jerry Garcia, he had on the exact same plaid shirt that my father wore my whole life, which was blue and brown, with mostly brown. And I remember thinking at the time, something about that brown shirt, you know, I was not as impressed with him as I should have been. But yeah, you're right. Our color taste changes. And since you have brought up brown, I have to tell you that it is International Coconut Day.
Ooh.
Pretty, one of the most beautiful shades of brown. And, of course, the core, C-O-I-R, that we now get to line our baskets, which is a coconut product, you know, it has that beautiful, beautiful shade to it, too. So you're in good company with the naturals.
It is exactly that color, honestly, because my dogs have found the coconut fiber in one of the bottoms of one of the old hanging baskets, and that has been shred.
I'm sure they have taken that apart.
Yeah, there's a frog that they really think is it. It's my the bird dog and
that frog is so
buddy.
Smart. That frog has
it's
figured
been
it
around.
Out.
I mean,
you know,
that frog is
under something, over something. They're not going to find that frog.
No, they found it. What they do is they put it in their mouth and run around with it.
Oh,
and
he
goes like into paralysis state.
Yeah,
to allow
sure.
them to do this.
Sure.
And then they'll spit him up, and he sits there and on his back, and they'll leave him alone for a minute. He'll get up and run off. And
you have
it's
a
the
much friendlier one than I have.
Yeah,
my frog
hilarious.
My frog literally has for years tunneled underneath stuff to get away from all of that attention.
Oh, he's done that too. Yeah, he gets away from the attention by getting in a wood pile, which they consistently love to take apart. And then rifle through it.
Yeah, of course.
But this frog and them have this unique relationship. And so I have, you know, I love
okay, now we're looking for the video. We're ready.
I need to do that. I really do. It's funny watching the cat watch the dogs go after the frog, where the cat's like, man, I could catch that now if I wanted to. Y'all go ahead and do
y'all
that.
Y'all go on. Have fun. That's funny. I do like it, though. On the coconut world, I had no idea that we produce more than 60 billion coconuts a year in this world. Primarily in Asia, but there's nearly 90 countries that actually grow coconuts of one sort or another. It's kind of fun stuff. It made me start, when I was reading about that, it made me start thinking about the whole banana oil business that I didn't get nearly enough into last week. We got as far as saying that banana oil is not actually from bananas. And so the reason it smells like it smells, of course, is because I think that's why it's called that, you know, it's called banana oil, because it's literally amyl alcohol and acetic acid.
We talked about that last Saturday.
We did.
Right?
We only went into the beginning of it, but we didn't get – here's the thing. Here's the problem. I'm reading and, you know, I'm hearing about it and remembering that it was the flavor of antibiotics for the children.
Yep.
Okay. Horrible. Whole kitchen smelled like it. But anyway, turns out that when they first started using it, they used it as a solvent, which doesn't make me real happy about it being in the kids' stuff. But whole rooms of people would pass out after it had been used on radiators and things. I mean, just because it was so overwhelming. So it came to be known as that kind of over the top, maybe grandiose, little bit too good to be true, can't believe it point of view. But not a snake oil. We're separating ourselves from snake oil with banana oil. Banana oil, there's usually an element of humor. So somewhere in there, though.
Snake oil, it could have some humor in it, too. But
it's usually thought of as something that you would get run out of town for.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas, for example, I maintain, and this is, I mean, it's not, I brought this up to myself, but I think I probably heard it somewhere else along the way. You go into a club or you go into any kind of meeting of a lot of people, all right, but particularly a club in the evening because there's people dancing and carrying on, and you meet people, and you know immediately when you've met a snake oil salesperson sort of person, somebody that's going to take advantage of you, somebody that's going to, you know, eat your food and drink your liquor and take you for a ride that goes nowhere. You know, this is the snake oil thing. I'm going to sell you this stuff that's not worth anything. Well, banana oil is a couple of steps away from that. I might do all that, but you'll also have fun. It still may not be anything to write home about, but at least it will be fun. And I really love this. I did not know that there was, in fact, banana oil as a comic strip. And it's pretty funny. It's people, you know, W.C. Fields prescribed banana oil to people as a cure for everything because it was a joke. And it's a lot nicer than the whole business of the snake oil. So I felt like I had to bring that. I had two or three people send me notes this week in the email. What about that banana oil? What are you talking about?
What is that stuff?
Well, I guess I brought it up. Why did you bring that up? I guess I brought it up.
We talked about it last week.
This is the time.
Stuff.
Well, this is the time of year when if you've got banana plants, they're probably blooming and they may have made fruit. So I just kind of try those things together. And it's really funny. I love these old words for what I would call hooey, you know, sweet talking, kind of flashy, not necessarily with your best interests at heart. They used to call these things bunk. Okay, got that. Hogwash. Okay. Mm-hmm. But what about applesauce? What about bologna?
I remember bologna, yeah.
I don't know those.
I remember
so anyway,
bologna.
It's not actually fraud. It's more the whole business of laying it on too thick or
right.
You know, blowing smoke, and as we talk about that. But I love the differentiation. And somebody sent me a piece this week, a whole thing about the use of snake oil in as a joke in culture and in early radio and things. And apparently a sound of a snake that was, if you heard that, it was like we use Easter eggs now, you know, to point to other things in different productions. If you heard that snake oil, you called in and you won something. You heard the snake.
Well, we have our first call of the day. Miss Paulette from Star has questions about roses for you this morning. Paulette, you're on.
Good morning. Hey, Paulette. Hey, Paulette. Nice to hear from you.
I'm getting a feedback. My phone is kind of messed up, so I may just ask and hang up. But we've got some roses we took from the wreath at my brother's grave, and my niece and I are trying to root them. In the past, I've had trouble rooting roses from a wreath. Mm-hmm. It's not quite, it seems like you cut them off the bush, it's no problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I've not had a lot of success. Is there anything special I should do, or is there a reason why they don't root as well?
Well, yes and yes. The first thing is that it may not be a variety that roots well. It may be a variety that, for example, has been cut from a tree type rose that you'll see in a greenhouse somewhere. So the little cuttings that by the time it gets to that tiny little stem that the flower itself is on, it may just not have the capacity. It may be too young to be able to root. Sometimes they're real tender, very green, and it's hard to root that. But what you can do to improve that is going to be to take off most all the flower petals, if not all of them, if they haven't fallen off already, and get some rooting hormone for the base of this thing. Have you got something? Is it 4 inches, 3 or 4 inches long? The cutting?
Oh, yes, we've got some. It's a foot long.
Oh, good. Wonderful. I'm going to try some of both. Make a fresh cut on the end of that thing. Cut it diagonally, you know, like we always do. Roll it in the rooting hormone and try that long one. But also take another one that's that long one and cut it in half and try two, one that's shorter and one that's longer. And go ahead, you know me, I'm going to say if you want one, stick 10 because the numbers are not great. But if you will then use a rooting hormone on it, don't let it get too wet, but keep it just evenly moist and in a shady spot, preferably like on a porch or somewhere that it's going to get a little humidity to it too. I think you will have better success with it. I will tell you that when I went to university, I was taught that that's not, you can't do that. You can't root those roses that had been cut and shipped and one thing and another. I probably said that about the third day I was ever on radio, and I immediately got calls from people who had rooted roses from the wreaths that were given to them for various and sundry people that they loved. And, of course, the roses are alive today and doing just fine. So you have to, as a person who hopes to give some good advice, you also have to listen. And I was glad to listen to that. So I don't have any doubt you're going to be able to do this, Paulette. You grow everything.
So. Yeah, I usually take and get a 2 liter Coke bottle, cut it in half, and flip the top so that it'll squeeze tighter, and put my plant that I'm going to root in the bottom, take the lid off and put that other piece on top. And I usually don't have any trouble rooting anything that way. But it just seems like I've had problems with the wreath roses.
These may be, they may stay a little bit too wet with that second top on it. So that might be when you it may be that you're keeping it too damp, would be my guess. Okay.
Okay, well, I appreciate it.
Sure, let me know how it goes, and my condolences on the loss of your brother. It's a tough, tough time.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. For those of you who don't know, Paulette and Star, we've talked through greenhouses and tomato plants and roses and one thing and another over the years. It's good to hear from her. Always love hearing from y'all, brand new, or frankly, if you've been around forever and I hadn't heard from you, give me a call. But guess what? New callers are always welcome. We like having different voices here on the air. Okay, so we got 60 billion coconuts. Isn't that funny? And there's people that don't like coconut. I have just recently been given 3 or 4 recipes that have coconut milk in them, in soups and sauces and that sort of stuff. And I've not launched into that yet, but a lot of people do use it in the same way that we might use an evaporated milk. And certainly if you're making curry or something, you're going to do that. But I'll let you know how that goes. It may or may not be anything that I ever want to do again. We shall see. All right, now, see, we seem to be on a brown trend today, and I just do love all of those colors. I've got another one for you. Strangely enough, University of Nottingham, that would be, you know, like Sherwood Forest, you know, Sherwood Forest and whatnot. My question is, can we know too much? I just got to know, can we know too much? We are now decoding the microbial and environmental factors behind how cacao becomes chocolate, how it ferments. I don't know if I want to know. I kind of like the magic. It is, in fact, what determines the taste, however, is that microbial and environmental stuff. And the factors are pretty basic, but the iterations of the way they have tested the cacao is incredible. They have put this thing through its paces, literally recreating the fermentation with different levels of in control of the microbial community, as well as, of course, the temperatures and the time frames and all of this. They're just trying to make better chocolate. I don't know if they can make better chocolate. I think we got pretty good chocolate now. What do you think?
I'm a big Toblerone fan. I love Toblerone.
Oh, another good choice. I've been on Lent recently, getting into that. But anyway, I think it's kind of like analyzing poetry or trying to analyze Janis Joplin. I don't want to do that. I just want to listen. We'll be back.
We are agriculture, the number one industry in Mississippi. We are 180,000 member families strong, a century of generations. We are grassroots Mississippi in all 82 counties. We are Unified, the largest general farm organization in Mississippi. We are the Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation, 100 years and counting. Become a member today at msfb.org. Running a business is tough. If you're struggling with HR benefits and payroll, you're not alone. Many businesses just don't have the resources to keep up. That's where MWG Employer Services comes in. We provide a full range of employer services with everything from payroll to benefits to HR services and compliance, and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget. We're a Mississippi-based company that can help you focus on what you do best, growing your business. Call MWG Employer Services today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWG Employer.
Friday night's just...
Love Nathan Abshire.
Oh, look, just joyful, so much joyful. This is some good questions y'all are asking this morning on the text line. Is there any fertilizer now that you put out for crepe myrtles at this time of year? Jimbo, I don't think so, but if they're not doing well, it's perfectly all right to fertilize them with a root builder, or in other words, a low nitrogen fertilizer. You can do that with any trees or shrubs that are not doing so well in late August, early September, most everywhere that you might be listening. It wouldn't be a problem. But read that label. It may be called winterizer. It may be called fall feeding. It may be called tree food. But read the label. You want a very low amount of nitrogen in it. And if it was, you know, 0, 10, 10, I'd be happy, but it's probably not going to be that, but pretty low anyway.
With the crepes, right now, I've got a couple of big, on the white ones, big snowballs that are popping off of it. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems like mm-hmm. they've got the berries on it. They're ready to bloom. When that bloom is over, is it okay to go in and cut those babies back enough to...
If you just cut the flowers.
Just the flower off. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's what mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure.
If you just cut the flower heads off, you may get another round before frost. But don't cut back any further, because if you do, you end up with wimpy growth, and that's no fun. You have to deal with it later.
Just the flower for this cut.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Good deal. Number two, you mentioned the hibiscus, those hibiscus mm-hmm. trees. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I had an issue with one. The other one seems to be kind of weathering the storm. I've pulled the little yellow leaves as they mm-hmm, happen off mm-hmm, each mm-hmm. day. I've watered it. You know, it's getting decent sun, I believe. It's holding on. It's still blooming well. Is there something I need to be paying attention to?
If the leaves are yellowing at the bottom of the plant, it needs some fertilizer.
Not at the bottom. It's just seemingly kind of random.
Okay. If it's kind of random, you don't need to do anything except not let it get too wet. If it's raining a lot at that particular spot, move the pot someplace else.
Okay. Good deal.
Sometimes they can be overwhelmed. You'll see that sometimes even on a gardenia that's perfectly healthy, and suddenly it's a wet week or two in the summer, and suddenly there's yellow leaves all throughout the canopy. It's just shedding those because it can't bring up enough water and nutrients to take care of them, but it's not necessarily dangerous.
Okay.
It's just if they're only at the bottom, though, then we know that it's using up the nitrogen in those leaves and sacrificing them to the top growth of the plant. So that's when we want to fertilize.
The hibiscus flower seems like it's the one that goes in your hair. You know, like it,
well, certainly.
It's the perfect size. You tuck
absolutely.
It in front of your ear or something.
And
if you're
by the
lady,
way,
you know, just,
well, and gentlemen as well may not know this. It's one of the ones that responds really well to just a little bit of Aquanet if you're going to wear it all
Aquanet.
Night.
Aquanet, nice.
Because you don't have any water for it, and they wilt in a hurry.
They do that,
But you can seal the bottom of it with a little bit of fingernail polish, just a drop, and then you spray the whole thing right before you put it in your hair with just some sort of hairspray. I say Aquanet because that's what I don't use hairspray, so I know that that's a name of one.
Yeah, my dad had that stuff sculpted over with Conair. I think that was the brand.
That was certainly one. I remember that. But yes, you can. It's one of those. You only do this to go out for the evening, and don't spray the gardenia. By the way, it'll turn brown.
Okay. Just the hibiscus.
Okay.
The tricks.
Let's see.
Show.
Oh, goodness. this is a good question. Well, you know, if you mess up often enough, you got things to say.
You get to learn the hard way.
Exactly. You know how sad a picture is with a wilted flower in your hair? Oh my goodness.
Well, that's a bad night coming. Huh?
It's bad afternoon.
It's
for goodness sake.
You know,
it's really bad mojo. This is a good question from Hattiesburg, and yes, he also. She or he also wishes that we had Cuban sandwiches to pass around this morning. This is a 5-year-old lemon tree. It produced a totally different looking limb instead of the usual one. This one's flat with bigger leaves. Will this be the ones that produce lemons? My answer is I don't know, but probably, because you are seeing mature growth. It is different. It's like when you grow a eucalyptus, that's probably the most dramatically different. The young leaves and the young stems are round, and the older ones are not. You know, when it matures, it gets a different, get a little bit different perspective on it. So I like the one from Espoma. Y'all know that, the citrus fertilizers. I recommend you a brand when it's one that I've tried all of them, and that's the one I like. That's what I like. So that's a really good one.
I always love it when we get the questions, like with Joe from Kiln. Talking about what's the best control for or to eliminate the Japanese climbing fern seems to have gone crazy post-Katrina. That's I love hearing those things because it's like, you know, what did it come from Japan?
At least you got Japanese climbing fern. I got gripeweed.
Gripeweed, so. Yeah, that's so much more fun. Gives you more to gripe about.
All day long. But I'll tell you what, this is another one of those plants, Japanese climbing fern. If we had any sense at all, we would be growing it to sell to the people in like North Dakota as an annual fern. You know what I mean? We grow so much of it, and other places seek it. You do realize that goldenrod is a cultivated plant in the UK. All right, we're out here spending our time trying to figure out where we can go that we won't run into it. It's not the one that makes you sneeze. That's actually the Vernona, the ironweed. But we do have to recognize, though, sometimes that things that we take for granted and even try to dispense with are very popular other places. We used to have a caller that hated moss. And if I told him once, I told him 10 different times, okay, here's how to get rid of it. We do the lime, we treat it, and that. But there are people who would buy that. He would just lift it off the ground and, you know, sell it to them. Anyway. So the Japanese climbing fern is a bit of a problem. I'll tell you the truth. If it's taken over a space, you just about have to get it down to the ground and then put something else on there, like, for example, boards or bricks for one season to get it to literally suppress it enough so that it doesn't come back and give you a problem. If there's just a little bit of it, I would say dig it up, suppress it, because you can spray this stuff, but it's not going to affect its roots. And if you're spraying it enough so that its roots are affected, you're probably not going to be able to grow anything in that space. So I'm going to say pull it out and suppress it with physical cover for at least 6 months. People out there going, she has lost her mind. No, I haven't. I have seen the sprays, and you try it. That you do that first, but you're going to come back and end up physically eliminating it. I promise.
Physically, yeah. Meaning elbow grease. Using, effort. Not
unfortunately,
just a spray. Yeah.
Unfortunately, and digging out the roots. Mm-hmm. You know,
how deep will those babies go?
They're not very, but they're prolific.
Yeah.
It's like the fiber optic network, under your house.
It goes forever.
Goes forever.
It's got like a wisteria.
Kind of that same sort of, it's a smaller space, but it's a plant that a lot of people like, a lot of people don't like, but it is vigorous. It's not technically invasive because it can be removed, but it is very vigorous. Andrea, beautiful plants, by the way. Andrea sent today, she's got a bee on some obedient plant. butterflies on zinnias and just gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous pictures. So nice. It's a beautiful garden this morning.
Hey, we had a guy come over and look at taking out that tallow tree, and he goes, hey, you know, these are an invasive species. I'm like, you don't listen to Garden Mama, do you? We need to turn you on to Garden Mama. He was like, yeah, we've got plenty of them out behind the shop.
Please, come in and testify. Tell people that it is an invasive plant and we should get them out of here, because it is. And the warmer the average temperatures get, the more it gets that way.
I told him what you had taught me too about how they try, you know, how they used them over there, and he's like, really? Wow. We don't have any use here.
We don't have any here. Anyway, we need to step away for just a little bit, and then we'll be back.
We've been so long. You've been hiding out. I know that's true. Getting more shall need.
Hey there, homeowners. Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
The Mississippi Propane Gas Association was founded in 1941 to represent and promote the views and goodwill of the propane industry. Visit propane.com to learn more about our dealers, suppliers, safety, and application of propane. Propane, energy for everyone. Visit propane.com. That's propane.com.
Hey, this is Bob. Just walk.
May, you know, feed that thing twice so that you, if it can bloom, you'll end up getting some berries out of it. Very good. Very nice plant, too. If you don't know that particular native, it's Calocarpa. It's a beauty berry. It is one of the most beautiful things in the fall because it will, the flowers are okay, but they're not that fancy. The berries, however, are shiny and purple. They can be white. They can be almost pink in their purpleness, very light color, but they're also traditionally on the native plant itself, not the hybrids taken from it, but its usual way is to have these metallic purple berries that are just spectacular. And because the leaves come off of the branches in an opposite form, that means that they're exactly even with each other. It's not first one and then the other. It's that they're even going across the branch. The berries form at those centers, and it's a very dramatic plant, just really very, very beautiful. Just lovely. Let's see.
Hey, before you go, we got Russ on the horn from the Res, and
hey,
he has
Russ.
A great question for you regarding a zinnia garden.
Oh, good. What's going on, Ron?
And a wedding reception that's upcoming.
Yeah, I got a wedding reception the first week of October, and we have a zinnia garden that's going to be kind of right in the middle of everything. Zinnia garden does well, but you know, by the time October rolls around, it'd be starting to play out. But we're thinking we want to go ahead and take this zinnia garden down and trying to get a little advice on what we could put in place of it that would be fresh looking, maybe flowers, plant seeds or something.
Well, you're at the Ross Barnett Reservoir. First of October is not anywhere near the end of your warm weather. And right now, if you start right now, you've got 6 weeks until then. You can grow brand new zinnias. You can grow sunflowers. You can grow cosmos. You can grow celosia. You know, you pick them because at this point you've got the perfect. This is actually a better time to start those kind of flowers. October 1st is a great time. By the way, if y'all are trying to do this, put that date down because that's a really good one to have flowers blooming. You're going to do fine. Do a little bit of work on the plants that are there. I wouldn't take them all out. I would certainly groom them a little bit. Maybe if they've got some leaf problems, spray those zinnias. But I would just be planting again and adding in some bushy sunflowers and maybe some celosias and that sort of thing, because it's going to be gorgeous. What a lucky person to have a wedding reception there.
Yeah. Oh, we hate to cut this out because, you know, they're still doing good, but I mean, we got to clean this thing up, you know how.
Well, you can certainly clean it up. You certainly can clean it up and do a little bit, but everywhere you pull one out, plant some more seeds.
Okay. So when we got time,
you do
to have flowers again.
You absolutely do.
Now.
Mm-hmm. I would hurry, but you absolutely do.
So sunflowers, more zinnias.
Mm-hmm. More zinnias and sunflowers. Look at Cosmos. COSMOS.
Cosmos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And even some Coryopsis. I wouldn't necessarily grow those. They might do okay. They might not bloom yet. But certainly the others will do fine. So go ahead and do the Cosmos and the zinnias and the sunflowers.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay. All right, good. All right. My wife is listening. So I'm
all right. We want to see pictures.
We will.
That's great.
All right. Well, thanks for your time.
Thank you. Sure. See you soon.
A great thing about Russ, I met him at a donut shop. It had to be 6 months ago. He had on this beautiful pink T-shirt, and he's standing there ordering his donuts. And I walked up and ordered mine, and he said, I think I know your voice.
Uh-huh.
I said, where would you eat? Garden Mama. I said, yes, that is me. I'm a cohort. And what a great guy, though. But the story, I really wanted to hear the advice you gave, because it sounds like it's going to be a beautiful setting.
It does.
I was like, with the zinnias, I'm glad I heard that, because I would have thought we're getting to that point where, no, you can't do it again. But
if you think about it, right up until Halloween, you will be going to farmers markets, and there will be sunflowers and zinnias all over the place. You know, they haven't been necessarily growing all the way since the spring.
Okay.
We cut all those already.
Yeah.
But because they have such a short growing time. It's like radishes. If you told me that you wanted to grow radishes this fall, is it too late? I would say, it's not going to be too late till about the 1st of October. You know, because they're only 30 days.
It doesn't take long for them.
Doesn't take long. So anyway, that's here. On to another good question. When a gardener moves, plants are included. Wants to know, how did I decide what plants to relocate from one zone
this
to another?
This was not easy.
This was still happening, actually, as a matter of fact. Well, the good news is that most of the plants in zone 8B and 9A grow the same. Both will grow there. They just don't necessarily grow the same. So I brought some things that I have been nursing along, for example, shell ginger, if y'all know that plant. It's usually 8 feet tall and covered in flowers at this time of the year. Well, mine never got bigger than 4 feet tall and had a few flowers because it actually needs heat. Needless to say, it's happy. My striped cannas, my Bengal tigers and those things, those are very happy here. But I have some other things that I'm trying to see, going to see. I'm always likely to try something, but I know I can grow some phlox here, and I have brought the Delta Snow Phlox with me, and I'm going to see what that one does. But I think you have to just try it. I think that's part of what propagation is so much fun, because you don't have to rip a plant out of the ground when you move. You can take cuttings off of it. Or, of course, like me, you can have somebody dig them up, put them at somebody else's house so that you can go and visit them. That for our dear friend Tim Burris up in New Albany, that's Orangeola has now relocated to Brandon and looks absolutely gorgeous. He was kind enough to find that plant for me to buy years ago, and it is huge and beautiful, but it didn't need to try to get in a truck and take a ride. It just went a smaller truck, smaller distance. So you have to make those kind of decisions too, what you actually want to take with you. Brought all the houseplants. They're all living outside now. So, is that enough? I hope that was a good enough answer. I think you have to decide what you really like, and you have to decide exactly how big the difference is.
Yeah, I mean, if you've been cussing it for 7 years, it might just need to stick around.
You may just want to leave it.
Right, right.
You know?
Let that one hang out.
John, this is a tough question. Went back to my old home place. And noticed how good the blackberries looked. Picked the 2 5-gallon buckets. Well, other than jams and freezing, without freezing them, what can I do? I think you
make
can
a syrup.
Start baking, or you can make syrup.
Make some syrups, yeah.
Make some syrups, have some friends come over and make pie.
The syrup of with blackberries, mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. That's my favorite to make, favorite to eat. Putting it on ice cream or anything like that. Just take you a good 50-50 water and sugar, get it good and warm, and then mash your blackberries in there, get them good pulped up, and run them through some type of Chinese hat type of sifters.
Do we put them through a sieve or do we?
I would put them through two different Chinese hats, what we would call in the kitchen, the upside down kind of wizard hat, but with different size holes, and put the big holes inside the little one, and then strain it, many, many times to get any kind of the pulp out, and you'll be left with this amazing beauty. Yeah, all the seeds.
Because you can blend up the pulp.
Yep.
But the seeds are going to really drive
you
crazy.
I wouldn't blend anything. Yeah, I would mash
it. I wouldn't either.
Yeah. I wouldn't blend anything. I would mash it until it is.
Y'all listen to him. He was a bartender in a former life.
Yeah, man. But that was my favorite part of bartending, actually, was the making the fun stuff. And
I love that.
But, yeah, that's the best.
Now, here's one you can't make syrup out of: sand burrs. This is these are the little yellow flowers, and they turn brown. And when you walk on them in the summertime, it hurts your feet and keeps you from being able to go barefooted. Everybody knows what those are.
I know what those are.
How do we get rid of them? Well, the first problem is that if it's in the lawn area or whatever area it's in, it's staying too dry for lawn grass, for example, and possibly for other plants, depending on what all you've got planted there. So that's the first thing to know. The second thing to know is that it does come up from its own seeds, and so you need to be looking at a pre-emerge weed killer, pre-emerge herbicide to put into that area. September is usually when we start, and then we do it again in February for that particular problem. Right now, about all you can do is cut it down and cut it down and cut it down again. Just try and keep it low so that it doesn't give you as much trouble and so that it doesn't set as many seeds as it might. Okay? So that's my best advice on that one. This is a good tip. Listen up, Andrea. I have beauty berries come up wild all over my property in Ripley, and I have made jelly with them last year. I've had beauty berry jelly. It was quite tasty, quite tasty.
When you can make jelly out of what was it that Peaches brought up here that day? Was it butter beans or something? And it was good.
I don't even remember.
It was like butter bean or some kind of pea jelly.
Y'all try so many things. Yeah, I can't remember what it was.
I was very hesitant to try it. Because, you're talking about a jelly made from a veggie, but it was sweet and delicious and beautiful, light green. Just the jellies and jams and all the good stuff is amazing.
Love that. Love that. Yes, we are live today. We are for that.
I hope so.
Okay, call your daughter, John. Tell her it's time to start baking pies. And listen now, make hand pies. Because if you make hand pies with the syrup or the mashed pulp, you can freeze them and you'll have those blackberries all winter. So I think it's going to end up being syrup.
Well, I think this is going to turn out very well, though.
Oh, Dave, these are beautiful, beautiful pictures from Ripley this morning. Beautiful, beautiful. Got black-eyed Susans, got some beautiful of those big marigolds that we like so well. And one of the, I think this would be Carl Bells or Red. No, this is probably Red Lady Salvia. That's pretty.
Those are beautiful.
Really pretty. Mm-hmm. And all these people are saying there's no butterflies. We got lots of butterflies.
Hawk is having a blast with them. We have a bunch down here.
And they're winning, by the way. Yeah. Purple Hull pea jelly, maybe, huh?
That was it, yes.
From Brenda and Mabel.
That was it. Thank
Brenda,
you, Brenda.
In Mendenhall, I'm sorry.
That's the one.
I can't remember.
That is it. It's Purple Hull pea jelly.
Okay. Okay, good.
That's why I was like, I'm not trying this, because you have to. Delicious.
And fortunately, we trust him, so.
Yeah, no, I mean... Goodness gracious. Hey, I will say this.
True.
Everybody, y'all know I was off a week. I did a little experiment just to see. I wore Mitchum forever, the deodorant. And I swapped over to, Old Spice, the Fiji, whatever. I smell like I just got back from Hawaii. I basically decided for the week, and I've been working in the yard and stuff, not to, see how long I could go without deodorant. Well, it goes from... Saturday of last week is when I put my last on, and then today I got here and I'm like, man, I probably should have put on some deodorant.
Thought about
it was about 7 days. It's amazing how long you can go with this stuff. I was curious how long it took to cycle out. So if anyone's been curious as to how long deodorant sticks with you, it's about a week.
We have some data. Yeah. We now have some data.
And I knew Saturday was okay just in case. Nobody's ever here with me. So
I will confess that there used to be these things called three-day deodorant pads, and I was afraid of them. I never used that in my life, but they were a thing you were supposed to put under your arm, I believe, and leave there. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that.
Like a little pad there, just absorbed everything. Huh?
Well, and it, of course, a lot depends on what fabric you're wearing, because you might have to wear pads just to keep your sweat from going through be visible. So I guess it would help with that. But it always scared me.
Well, that leads me to a question. Nervous. You always, you know, we hear for years about people would put like a half onion or something in a sock and sleep with it. Or, you know what I'm talking about? Like, what does that do?
Is it like, I don't even know,
detox you or something?
I've heard of it. I've heard of it. There are people who wear garlic to keep werewolves away.
Yeah, well, I do that regularly. Stuff. Yeah, I don't want a werewolf
on me.
I'm sure you do.
I'm sure you do. I haven't
met
one
here.
Yet. But
Jackson is notorious for werewolves.
Well, I just don't understand how I missed that. But anyway.
Yeah, we didn't go to the castles too often, right?
We didn't go, yeah.
That's where they live, I think, yeah.
We got some more welcoming you back.
Yeah, that's what made me think about
the best part is that because you're here on Saturdays, even if you're away during the week, you know.
This is hourly, baby. I ain't turning this down.
I understand.
I love hanging out with you guys. Saturdays are fun. You know, we have a good time.
Well.
And I learn a lot coming in here and getting to, especially in the growing season, we have so many great listeners and they share so openly their gardens and little tricks and skills and the food. Man, you don't want to miss a Saturday from 8 to 10.
Well, I think next week is going to be an interesting one. I have way too much to say about the growing greens. So I'll talk about
which is
that.
Your favorite.
We're getting close to. Now, that's like picking one of my children. I can't do that.
Well, we all know that they're favorites. So.
It depends on which one I can pick today.
who did what right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's kind of the way that works. But I will say this, y'all have the best questions, because this is the point in the year when I look back through what's been asked, I'm able to find out that this is when we start hearing about, okay, so I saw these broccoli plants. Do they have a chance, in Madison? Do they have a chance in Tupelo? Do they have a chance in Memphis? You know, everybody has a different perspective about fall gardening. So I wanted to do that a little bit next week. But I wanted to say a couple more things, if you don't mind me doing this. I'll get into this in the next segment. I've really got a couple more things to say about propagation, just because it does give me so much pleasure, and I believe it would give you a lot of pleasure if you just did it as well. There's a couple of pieces you need to know, and one of those is that if you are bending that stem, it's not going to root as well. It doesn't need a wound. It's not like when you're going to do an air layer and you wound the stem a little bit so that it can be encouraged to make some more roots pop out at a place where it wouldn't do that. That doesn't work like that at the tip end that you're going to stick into the water or the soil or roll up in rooting hormone or however you're going to do it. So that's why we talk about the need for a sharp knife and preferably one with only one edge, like a pocket knife or something of that sort. I believe this was, wasn't yesterday International Knife Day, or maybe it was Thursday? Anyway, y'all know Terry Vandeventer, the amazing herpetologist in our world, is also a knife maker. Another friend of mine, Ford from Louisiana, also makes those knives, and it's just beautiful. And I thought, this is exactly what gardeners need to see. Is that these beautiful knives can be collector's items and at the same time extremely functional. You don't have to go get your kitchen knife out of the drawer to start cutting your propagation materials. Get you a knife and keep it for that. So that's what I have to say. Now we're going to get all the favorites. Collard greens with turnips and onions, but then again, maybe baby spinach salad. Yeah. I'm all about
salad.
That. Mustard
greens.
I can
eat a baby spinach without anything on it. Just eat the spinach.
Well, that's.
Then
yes.
I go out and lift cars.
You and Popeye and my son-in-law are all very fond of this. Now, I have to tell you, September is spinach planting time, and I think all y'all need to plant lots of spinach. We're going to work on that next week, too, okay? Stick around. John Fred and I'll be right back.
Keep a wearing your green slips and your new round on.
there, homeowners. Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Thinking about that big home project? In Mississippi, the law requires a licensed contractor for residential projects, including new home construction over $50,000. Home remodeling or improvements, including roofing, over $10,000. All subcontractors performing residential, electrical, plumbing, or HVAC work on new home construction projects over $50,000 or home improvement projects over $10,000. Don't risk your investment. Visit msboc.us to verify a contractor's license today. A message from...
I'm here with David Barone.
Take up the accordion.
You got to. I mean, well, you got some free time.
Why not? Yeah, so much of that.
Yeah, you got all that free time.
Oh, my goodness. Dot and Bolton, she really doesn't have any free time. She's ready to sprig some St. Augustine runner plugs. How would
there
you do that? It's really not too late. It's also not even too late, for example, if you can find some sod, because a lot of places do cut it at the end of summer. It's a good time to sod your lawn in the same way that it's a good time to plant vegetables, because the weather gets better for them as the months and weeks progress. So, yes, I don't have any problem with that. If you needed to do that, I would make sure that your lawn was in good shape at where you're going to plant. In other words, that it's not too wet and not too dry. And then I would use a new lawn starter and probably nothing else. Maybe root stimulator instead, but just one kind of little bit of fertilizer. You don't want to push these to grow a whole lot, because then you don't want cold weather to damage them. So, but it, yeah, you got it. You, no matter where you are, you got some time in Bolton right now. Bolton, you're going to have at least 8 weeks of plenty warm weather, and that's fine for St. Augustine to get established.
Hey, I have one question. If you go to, like, I know there's a great landscaping and home center out at the Res, and they usually this time of year may have some, like, they didn't quite use all the St. Augustine, or, you know, and it'd still be on a pallet.
I don't know.
Could you, would you be able to save some of that if it looks a little brown? And I mean, could you take that and?
Well, a lot of times sod is not in the greatest shape, but as long as it has a this is a terrible thing. It's called recoil.
Okay.
If you take hold of it, you know, it's going to have like some grass on top and maybe an inch of thatch or roots underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
When you press on it, hold it. If it bounces back, it's still okay.
Okay.
If you press it down and it stays down, go somewhere else or just wait till next year, depending on where you are.
Gotcha.
But as long as it's got that recoil factor, you may have to baby it, but you've got a healthy product. Okie dokie. Our friends say don't cut it too low. That's true. We don't want to cut anything too low. Oh, good one. This is we will be part of a tailgate next week. Not us in person, but we'll be happy to say that the JTM Express will be listening to us.
That's and what
we
I
always
like to
we
hear.
Always
Thank
appreciate
you.
That so
hey,
very
we,
very much.
We have this a call as well. We have Miss Mabel in J Town.
Hey,
a question
Mabel.
For you, Miss Mabel. You were on.
Hey.
What's going on? Good morning.
Okay. Good morning.
Go ahead.
Okay. I have a my lily. It died. And I want to put another plant in the place of it.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
Or should I dump the soil that's in the pot? And put another kind in it.
Probably not. If it was in there less than a year, that soil is still okay.
It was in there less than a year. It's,
mm-hmm.
It's been there. It was a plant that I had that came from my daughter's field.
I'm sorry.
And it just
Is it a peace lily? Is it a peace lily? It's got the green leaves. Is it a peace lily with the green leaves? Okay. Then is the soil real, real dry?
I watered it like it should, you know.
Okay.
But it just...
Well, I think it'll be fine. What I'm going to suggest is that you plant something in there with it. But those things have been known to come back up. So don't rip it all out of there entirely. Leave a little piece of that and put something else in there to accompany it. Okay?
Oh, okay. Well, could I put a... I want one that have... I'd just rather just take it out and put a flower that have flowers on it. If,
okay.
You know.
Well, that sounds fine, too. There's a... I would,
what
at that
kind
point,
of plant would...
Well, at that point, you can just go pick something out and start again, but you don't need new soil. It's going to be fine.
Okay.
This time
now
of year,
the soil is in there. It got little sticks and stuff, and it was in the soil.
Okay. Well, then if you can always, if you want to take it out and mix it with some potting soil that's fresh in a bag, that's always good too. I mean, it won't hurt to boost it, but it's probably not used up yet, though. It's probably still has some good to it.
Okay.
Okay.
And that's a flower that stays and you keep it
I would be looking for. There's a couple of different things you might consider, but I would just go and look at house plants that bloom and pick one. There's several choices, okay? Calanchos, but there's a bunch of things. You don't need me to tell you. You'll recognize them. You know more than I do.
And look, my rubber plant, it got like some rust or something that's on the stems. And it's losing the leaves. Should I scratch that off?
I would take a little soapy water and just wash that stuff off.
Yeah.
Okay. And again, just be sure the container's not staying too wet or too dry. It's a moderate environment plant, too.
And that would cause the leaves to fall off?
If it gets too dry.
Black stuff.
It sure can.
So I could just take some, what kind of... dishwashing liquid, I should use it.
That's all I would do. I'm going to put it on either maybe a sponge, but maybe just a cloth, and just wipe the stems with a little soapy water. Usually that's enough to suppress that stuff. I do love rubber trees. I think they're so pretty. Let me know if it needs any more help, okay?
Okay, I will.
Y'all have a good week. I'll talk to you soon. You know, this is a good question. Any advice on pumpkins? Well, yeah. Alan says, seems like they'd like a lot of water and fertilizer. Wowie zowie, you have really set a mouthful there. They do. And these are beautiful vines. This is exactly what you want. This is a pumpkin patch, my friends.
It's a beauty, isn't it?
Now, at this point, I would be sure that you are not using an over amount of nitrogen in the fertilizer. For example, if you've been filling up your reservoir or your buckets or whatever with 20-20-20, I would go to something like 5-10-10 or 5-20-20, so because you're trying to encourage them to bloom now and to put on the pumpkins, which they probably already are underneath there. It's really, that's just beautiful patch. Just beautiful. We've got...
Got a pompous
Mississippi
grass question.
Bluegrass
there.
Association.
Yeah, I responded. I'm going to join that.
Let's go.
Yes.
Pampas grass can be so tough. It's, I think you do have a fungus in there. I think you've also got this is what we would call failure to thrive. In other words, there's something in this soil that is, these have been in the ground long enough, they should be bushy and green even if they aren't blooming, okay? So I think we're going to need to at least make sure that they're getting some, here's what I do. I take off these dead leaves, because that's not going to come back right now. I don't want to over-fertilize them, but I would mulch around each of these pretty heavily with a ground bark and some compost, and then let the fall rain and fall winds take care of the rest of it. It'll blow away some of those plumes that are not working so well. Then next spring, You know, in January we cut these back, and then next spring you can start growing them again. But I wouldn't cut them back now. That's just going to try to – I would cut off the deformed flowers and take off the dead leaves. But otherwise I would just give them a dressing around each the base of each of these beautiful grass plants. Pampas grass should be big, and within a year it should get much larger than it is getting. And these are not doing it. They're just failing to thrive. So let's see if we can't fix that, okay? North Van Cleve. Really, really pretty place. You should be getting better growth than that. I think it's just not, I think they probably, the crown didn't quite get what it needed. Okay? Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate y'all. Thank you so much, Larry. That's very kind of you. There's, the good news is that you even like Lance, so we like that.
Hey, here
did
we go.
Did I get everybody? I think I got everybody. Okay. Make sure that I did all of those. Yes. Okay. Good, good, good.
I think we're caught up on, yeah, on the text line. Good work. A lot of good ones today.
Well, and I was writing things around and then pushing things back and forth, so I had to make sure that I hadn't undone something. You know, we always talk about that fall planting thing. We love to plant in the fall. And planting more trees does help to cool the planet. And in some places, it can reduce the fire risk, depending on what kind of tree it is and what the situation is. But you know where the biggest, the biggest accumulation of good news around this, UC Riverside is not located in the tropics. But what they're letting us know is that tropical regions provide the most powerful climate benefits from planting trees because the trees there grow year-round. They absorb more of the carbon dioxide, and they do cool the air through evapotranspiration, which is the formal term for what we call tree sweating, which is why we're really glad sometimes we're under a tree. You know, it's a pleasant place to be. But this is climate and atmospheric science. But it's talking about the net positive for tree planting is certainly there because it pulls some warming carbon out of the atmosphere, but it's even more effective in tropical areas. And this brings you to why we worry so much about the deforestation of tropical ranges like the Amazon. Those are the lungs of the world, folks. You know, we got to take care of all of that. Oh, a pretty video. I don't know if we'll be able to show it, but there's Mama's backyard. That's great. What a great yard. Pretty, Larry. Thank you. Hey, Mama, thank you. Let's see. What can you do with the fruit of quince? Marcella wants to know. The big quince, not flowering quince, but the quince trees that drop what are sometimes called horse apples because they're so nubby and big and fat. I've had quince jelly. What do you think, Lance? Have you had quince pie yet?
I have not. I know what you're talking about as far as the fruit, mm-hmm. but it's
very
scary.
Very light tasting, very delicious. Okay. But it does take a long time to cook, apparently.
You call some a horse apple, you know?
Well, there are other things that are called horse apples. Y'all don't start with me with Osage oranges. I know that. That's also another one. I think they tend to pick up. Anything you can pick up and throw at somebody tends to get that.
There you go. Right. So. It looks like something that you would have, in some place, they would have used as like a baseball or.
Oh, sure.
You know.
Sure. Speaking of that, we didn't even talk about the Little League World Series. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, isn't it always so fun to catch
such
those
a play.
Kids?
Those plays this week, is that they're just crazy good.
I love the way they put the height of these kids on there.
Yeah.
It's like 4'2", 78 pounds. He's going to be a big one.
Yeah, he's going to be a big dude.
That's going to be a big one right there.
But there's some talent. My goodness.
Oh, yeah. Those kids.
It's fun to watch. They're more fun to watch. I don't like when they show the parents and all that in the stands because that always makes me feel uncomfortable.
A little unruly in there.
they're not as nice as the kids.
Well, and they're usually hollering at the ump. You know.
That's my point. You know.
That's a thankless job, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
People always used to ask me, why don't you ever umpire? I have no desire. Now, I have a lot of respect for those that do it because it is definitely thankless. And you got to run around out there like a kid. You know.
Yes, even when you're not one.
When you're 50.
Yeah.
It's not as easy as it looks. So.
Well, I have one friend who went, to the school in Florida, the umpire school, I guess.
Nice, yeah.
Anyway, and did all of that. And he said that it was a really nice group of people that he was glad that, you know, he met all of them, but he could not imagine how they did what they did. You know, he went on to umpire, I don't know, what are those, the
minor league ball?
Upper college.
Oh, yeah, D1.
You know,
those, is
that kind of stuff. Yeah, and he loved it, but he said it was just such hard work that he thought you needed to be younger than the players.
I think it's robots sound like a good idea if you're the one behind the plate doing
it.
Could
be a really good idea.
Hey, we've got a great comment here. My dad used to make quince jelly and would bake it, too. And then you have the obligatory, I didn't care for it. I understand, yes.
That might be why it's not on the
right. It's not on the menu anywhere.
Front anywhere. But it is one of those things, you know.
You can do it, yeah,
like,
apparently.
Like, you know, human beings are going to find a way to eat just about everything that they run into.
Yeah, I mean, I've made syrup out of sweet potatoes. You can make anything that's got a little bit of juice in there. You can.
You're going to turn it into something. Why not? But it's right up there with, you know, who was the first person to decide to put those olives into a cask for 2 years.
No, it's it's the one who decided to steam crab. You know, that's
who had that much bravery.
Like, who thought that was a good idea?
Yeah. Who cracked open that first oyster? Mm-hmm. Come on. And really, I mean, we have a lot of those things. People would ask you, why in the world would you eat that? And it turns out it's a pumpkin or a squash or something. It's just funny stuff. No quince jelly here today. We're not getting any good reviews.
Yeah, and peaches, please don't bring us any quince jelly.
On that note, we'll be right back.
With darkness all about, you want the screen to shut. Carry on, carry on. Don't cry, baby. Look at where you've been. Everybody knows you just need a friend. Please, 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 go down on your knees. Carry on, carry on.
When it comes to returning money to Mississippians, Treasurer David McRae is on a roll. He's already returned hundreds of millions of dollars in unclaimed money to Mississippians through the Treasury's Unclaimed Money Program. Now he's refocused the state's college savings initiatives, MAX and Impact, to emphasize technical, trade, and teacher-focused careers, jobs, and skills Mississippi needs. Don't let another day go by without getting a jumpstart on a career or getting back the money that's yours. Visit Treasurer David McRae, treasury.ms.gov.
Propane uses for residential include cooking, heating, gas logs, outdoor products, water heaters, landscaping, and manufactured housing. Propane is a trusted, reliable source of energy that is used year-round by more than 60 million Americans. Visit propane.com to learn more. Energy for everyone. Propane. That's propane.com.
To be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade. He'd let us in, knows where we've been in his octopus's garden in the shade. I'd ask my friends to come and see.
I think I would too. Yep. I think I would invite my friends. If I had an octopus's garden, you'd have to come with me. That's all there is to it.
SpongeBob would be your
best
friend.
This is also Ride the Wind Day, my friends. So if anybody's going hang gliding, I'll be thinking of you, but I won't be doing that.
Well, my dog, you know, Hawk, he got his first one of those flimsy Frisbee deals. Oh my God. Riding the wind is what he's
literally been up to. Yeah, he can literally fly with that.
Quick, that's funny story. We all know football season is upon us.
Yes.
We have college ball coming this weekend and NFL preseason. The games have been on a little bit around the house, you know, just ambient noise. And for a year, Hawk has not even sniffed his toy pile. He has three or four balls, and we call birds, different sizes. And I turned my back the other day. It's 900 degrees and out in the yard, and he goes and fishes around in a big pile of stuff. He comes back with his big Nerf football.
Of course.
And I'm like, man, okay. And so he would not leave me alone. He kept giving me the ball. He's like, all right, you know. So we've been throwing touchdown passes for like 4 days. So he's warmed up. I mean,
he's
so funny. Like, I have not said a word about football, but he's seen it on TV and he remembers. He had a, he's a 2-year-old pup now, but I found that kind of funny. Like, all
that's
of a sudden,
wonderful.
Out of the blue, a year later, you know, he brings me the ball. He's like, all right, let's throw touchdowns.
Now, when he brings you the badminton racket, we're going to get worried.
We're
going to get a little bit more
gracious,
concerned.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. That's delightful. I'm going to tell you this is going to, we're just going to top off the whole Cuban discussion by telling you.
We got a bakery around here or something?
This week, no, but this week is Peach Pie Day. So
okay.
We're going to forget the quince. We're going directly to peach pie. But it's also waffle day. So I want to know about peach waffles, okay? Something to inspire some of y'all who actually do these things much better than me, I'm sure. I can look at a waffle iron, it'll stick. But
I can eat them real good, yeah. I really tried to make them.
But it's one of those things, if we take all of these crazy things that people would like us to observe at one point, we can actually have a Cuban sandwich followed by a coconut peach pie. Now, come on, that's a pretty good week. Mm. Throw in the waffles, you know.
And make some syrup with the blackberries.
Of course.
Got that also.
Of course. We're all going to be hungry. I love that.
And use the quince.
That's why we garden. Come on, y'all.
Yeah, throw
use
the quinces.
Use the quince. Make jelly and give it away as Christmas presents.
Or just make some jelly for the raccoons. You know, just leave it out there and you know,
they'll
and
enjoy
here's your
it,
quince
I'm sure.
Jelly.
They'll
be
sure
like, wow, this is awesome.
That's terrible. But they probably would enjoy
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they'd love it.
Well, I don't know about any of those things, but I do know that there's a few things that we need to know about at this point in the year. People are already starting to think about, okay, what if this? What if that? What if it's an early frost? What if it's a late frost? What if there's no frost at all? What if everything suddenly drops all of its leaves? You know, we talk about these things around here on the Garden Mama Show because they happen to all of us. You're going to have a lot of folks to talk to on September 20th at the Magnolia Fest in Ridgeland at the Renaissance. A lot of folks there talking about all kind of really cool stuff. You'll get a lot of answers. But I'm going to give you this tip. Get a little bucket, carry some potting soil with you that you've already mixed up that you're using. And as you walk around your plants this week that are in containers, you're going to be surprised how much erosion there has been. You may even have a little piece of a root sticking out or a stem that's too far up or the crown of a perennial that's lifted out. Fill those things in. This is a really good time of year to do that. It's also, if you've got houseplant type things, tropicals, that you're going to be bringing indoors, it's a great time to fertilize them. Do that for yourself, and they'll appreciate it, and you will too, because they'll be in such better shape. Anytime you're walking around your plants, you're looking for things that look good, things that don't look so good, bugs you can pluck out of there if they happen to be a problem maker. But you can also look to see when the next flower is coming. That's all I'm going to tell you. Walk the garden every day. Take a look at your plants. Even if you just walk by and say hello, if something's going on that's different, you'll know. And if you stop to do a little deadheading and take out maybe a couple of weeds growing up in the flower pot, you'll have an even closer look at the plants. And the plants will do better for you, whether it's today or tomorrow or next week or next month, whether it's on the porch, out in the yard under a tree, or whether you're bringing them indoors. All of those things make a big difference in the way that we end up seeing our plants, because they're not, you know, they're not capable of telling you what they need out loud. You got to see it and you got to pay attention to it. A lot of times we propagate plants because we want more than the budget allows us. Sometimes we propagate plants because we want to participate in a sale somewhere next spring. But sometimes we just do it for fun. So I'm going to leave you with an idea of mine. If you go and take a look at, you want to plant some herbs, add some parsley to your garden this fall, take a look at the price of the parsley plants and go start some seeds. Theoretically, it takes 14 days. It doesn't usually take quite that long to get parsley to sprout. But I think that's why most of us don't grow our own parsley from seed, because we think it's going to take too long, or because we get frustrated after that first week. You know, the beans have come up, the squash has come up. sometimes even the thyme will have sprouted a little bit, but we don't get a chance to see so much until maybe a couple of weeks into the parsley world. So give yourself that opportunity. Don't let the price of something, because most of that price is the cost of shipping it to you from someplace else. If you feel like that's not worth your investment, buy a pack of seeds. You got any questions? Talk to me. Always mamaonair@yahoo.com. So that's one of the best things that I can tell you about the joy that you get from propagation. Starts with seeds, extends to cuttings, and before you know it, it's time to chill tulips, because that's a form of propagation too. Now, I wanted to say this too, and I know I'm about to run out of time. Don't forget that the fall butterflies, the fall hummingbirds, are really the bread and butter of our gardens. But don't overlook the bees. If you've got flowers that the bees have frequented, for example, a vitex tree or something, you know, something that's fairly tall, go ahead and do a little bit of deadheading, even if you can only deadhead the lower flowers. If you can climb up in the tree or if you've got a ladder, go ahead and do that. But we are trying to make sure that there's plenty for the pollinators as we move into the fall of the year. And, of course, because we do tend to take better care of our plants in the summer and fall, they'll be happy if you do a little bit extra for them right now. I don't see any reason not to do that. I do think that there's a couple of pieces of the puzzle. We were talking earlier about greens, and I appreciate y'all already kind of overloading me with these choices of greens. But nobody has mentioned Swiss chard or beet greens. Now, come on, y'all. Those are good. You can plant those things right now. You can get started with them right away. It's like the radishes. You know, they don't take very long to get going. You probably ought to give them a chance to be there for you when you're ready and when you get a little bit hungry. There are three different kinds of wood. I'm going to talk to you about that next week when we talk about the propagation situation. But if you're finding that those root roses and things that you stuck a couple of weeks ago have dropped all of their leaves, don't worry about that. That's not really as big a problem as it might seem. We're going to drop some leaves, but what you're looking for anytime you're rooting a woody cutting is to reach in there every week or so and just wiggle it a little bit, because you want to see if it's getting stuck. If after 2 or 3 weeks it literally could come out in your hand, that one's not going to take. So you either need to make a new cut, roll it again in some rooting hormone, or frankly, just give yourself the chance to root some more next year, or, you know, enjoy the ones that do make it this time around. We're going to talk about greens. We're going to talk about propagation. We're going to talk about you and your garden next week on the Garden Mama Show.
The Garden Mama Show is a production of Super Talk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
Homeowners, Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Are you a business owner looking for help with HR benefits and payroll? MWG Employer Services offers a wide range of services and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget.
I was so overwhelmed with HR stuff. MWG Employer Services took all the stress out of it and even set up my payroll. I couldn't be happier.
MWG Employer Services is here to help you succeed. Call us today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerServices.com.
We've sent that Rip Van Winkle guy.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.